So want to continue a bit of a theme that we've been developing over the last few weeks. People have been asking a wonderful question that as we develop our new vision of becoming a church of small groups, both here as we meet on Zoom in distancing, but also as we begin to regather together, they're asking this question: where do I fit? What can I bring? What can I do? And in seeking to address this over the last few weeks under the hashtag Every Life Matters, we've thought about the choosing of the seven in Acts chapter 6, sometimes thought of as the first deacons, who were chosen to fulfill a specific role serving the growing church, so that the particular ministry of the apostles, the preaching of the gospel, was unhindered. Then in two different contexts, we considered the passage at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12 and the subject of spiritual gifts and how spiritual gifts are given to each member to help us all serve the church and witness for Jesus in the world. And then a couple of weeks ago, we had a second Sunday when we met in two different contexts to consider what can hinder us from serving the church or witnessing for Jesus. We thought about identity, and we thought about wholeness in Christ, and how sometimes, if not shaped by God's word and by his spirit, our beliefs about ourselves, how others see us and how God sees us, can disable us from serving and from witnessing, and how important it is, therefore, that we understand who we are in Christ and what he has called us and equipped us to do. So last week, we shared communion together, the ultimate symbol of who we are in Christ, that we've been brought together as the body of Christ to serve God and his purposes in the world. And today I want to pick up that theme again, that we are the body of Christ, that every life matters, your life matters, my life matters, our life matters in the body of Christ, and that each one of us, that every one of us has a part to play in enabling the body of Christ at Sea Green Baptist to function as God intended. Play a reading in a moment, a recorded reading. So 1 Corinthians 12. And I just wanted to give a bit of background to this chapter. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 12, well, the whole letter of 1 Corinthians, from the city of Ephesus sometime around AD 55. And the letter covers a number of topics which he raises both in response to a report that he has received from about the church, which I'm afraid the report wasn't very good, but also some theological or relational questions that the Corinthians had written to the apostle in order to try and get an answer for. And one theme that emerges as probably as Paul's dominant concern in his letter, is that their life together, the life of the church, will neither hinder the growth of every member or will hinder their witness amongst unbelievers. So that seems to be Paul's dominant concern, that their life as a church wouldn't hinder everybody's growth and a key verse in 1 Corinthians is chapter 10, verse 31. You may just want to note that down and perhaps refer back to it a little bit later. But it's chapter 10, verse 31 is like the hub of a wheel that holds the whole wheel together. And Paul writes in that verse, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I tried to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. So a key verse for us to understand 1 Corinthians. And the church in Corinth was divided because of the arrogance displayed by some of its more powerful members. And Paul wants these members to cease their rather self-centered and self-promoting and possibly self-gratifying arrogance, in order that the faith of every member of the church will be built up, especially those who are weak in their faith, and so that they can work together more effectively for the advancement of the gospel. And this sounds very pertinent, very appetite for us at the moment. Paul has already used one metaphor for the church. In chapter 3, he has spoken about them being built into the temple of the Holy Spirit. But now he changes the metaphor to that of the body of Christ. So we come to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to begin in verse 12. It's a recording I made yesterday of our reading. And then we're going to split into small groups to discuss it together. So let's just pray. Lord, as we consider your word, we pray that you will speak to us again. Speak to us, Lord, as if it's for the first time. Will you remind us of old truths and speak new truths into our lives today? For we pray it in Jesus' name and for the glory of his name. Amen. So this is
our reading today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body either. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, just as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honourable, we bestow the greatest honour. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honour to the part of it that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for the other. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And now I will show you the more excellent way.
So we've got five groups for us this morning. Our facilitators are Jeff, John and Josie, Janice and Barry, Martin and Kerry, and Paul and Alison. Thank you so much for being willing to facilitate our groups this morning. They've got some questions for starters. I hope you have an interesting time and enjoy this and learn something about it. So we're going to break up into our small groups now, and we'll see you in about 25 minutes or so. Are we all back? I think so.
Yeah.
Well, that was most interesting to pop up groups and hear what people were sharing. Sometimes when we've done that, when we come back together again, I've encouraged people to feed back. I don't particularly want to do that this time. It's why we gave a little bit longer for the group, so that you could grapple with these things, and it certainly sounded as though you were. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to general feedback or specific feedback on the questions, but on the whole thing, did anyone want to make just briefly any particular observation, anything that was really people felt quite strongly, quite forcefully? I hope that was helpful. It certainly seemed, from where I was listening, you were having some good discussions. Thank you to all of those who facilitated those discussions. I think you were really helpful, so thank you for doing that. Anybody wanted to make a sort of big picture general observations about this passage?
Barry.
Who was that?
Go on, Barry.
All right, yeah, good. It's interesting because if my foot's not quite right, it aches and it tells me. And I think the whole of the body of Christ in our church needs to know that they need to speak up if there is something that needs prayer or care, and not just rely on hopeful other people might notice. So again, with a body, there's an honesty about it. You can't not be honest about your toe hurting. Your toe, it hurts. So again, the whole thing is to be honest with us, with each person individually and with the body. So if there is a need, then please let that need be known, because the body needs to know that its toe's hurting. Yep. Otherwise it will suffer in some way. So yes.
Good point. Thank you very much indeed, Barry. Yeah, very helpful. Make your need known and we can pray for you and care for you in that way. Absolutely. Don't be frightened to ask. Don't feel a burden, but ask. We can pray. But also be very attentive. Be very attentive to other people and ask them genuinely how they're doing. Thank you for that. Any other comments?
Hilary?
I think a very good illustration of everybody playing their part in the church, and she'll hate me for saying this, but I want to publicly say thank you to Jill for the prayer diary every day, because I found that so, so helpful. She always makes an insightful and prayerful comment that is a good lead into the prayers, and also praying for each other by giving us names every day to pray for. So I think that's just an example of somebody playing their part in the church, and I wanted to applaud Jill for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Hilary. And that is an example of something else that is very important, to show appreciation. When you notice something, when you have a cup of coffee, whenever we get back to that, or a piece of cake, or someone has led prayers or done something in the gathering that has made the gathering possible, or just does something in our everyday life, like the preparation of the prayer diary. Let's be quick. Let's be very, very slow to criticize, sometimes it's easy, isn't it, for us to see something we don't like and be very verbal about it. But let's take Hillary's example and be slow, very slow, if at all, to criticise when something's not quite right. But let's be very, very quick to say thank you and to appreciate and to applaud and to encourage. One of the little groups that I was travelling around and I heard, how do we encourage each other? Well, thank you is a great way of encouragement. How do we help each other to participate and to play their part? Well, encourage. Lift up, somebody said. We don't just, we lift people up and we encourage people that have a little voice. Thank you, Hillary. You've given us an example to follow of saying thank you, building up the body of Christ. Excellent. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. So just in summary, really, we're still in a little bit of social distancing. We can do a little bit, but not very much at the moment. Hopefully over the next few months, that'll ease a little bit so we can do a bit more. But as we continue in this format, as we work towards our new vision of becoming a group of small, a church of small groups, how do we play our part? We'll be talking, I'll mention in a moment about our church meeting in a couple of weeks' time, where we'll be reflecting further on leadership structure and the appointment of deacons and elders. And that's a specific need in the life of the church. But we are all needed. Everybody has a part to play. Every life matters. So just in summary, let me remind you, brothers and sisters, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And you are a part of the body of Christ. Let me affirm you. Let us work. Let us understand that we have a part to play. And let us contribute the part that God has given us to play. And let us welcome, let's go out of our way to welcome and value every other person's contribution, even sometimes when it doesn't particularly fit our own pattern and our preferences. But let us go out of our way to encourage other people's gifts and participation and contribution. Let us be a group of people who are open and known to be open about these things. Because this passage says that the body functions best and properly when every part is playing its bit, is playing its part, is doing its bit. So that's the first point. We are the body of Christ and you are a part of it. Hallelujah. Secondly, from verse 30 in chapter 12, I want to encourage you to desire the gifts. Twice in these passages, Paul says, desire the gifts. And I want to encourage you not to be one of those people that sits back and lets everybody else get on with it, but comes to the Lord in prayer and says, Lord, what do you want me to contribute to this part of the body of Christ? What gift will you give me so that I can build up the body of Christ and help the body of Christ in its witness for Jesus? I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to seek to play your part. Don't sit back and wait for everybody else, but seek the part that God wants you to play. Seek his gifts, seek his gifting, and bring it. And we shall look forward to that. And thirdly, chapter 14, verse 1, after this wonderful chapter 13, the glue that holds us together is love. We can have a word of prophecy, but if we don't love people, we're just like a clanging cymbal, a noisy gong. So let us follow the way of love, chapter 14, verse 1 says. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts. So, brothers and sisters, thank you again to all those who facilitated. These studies are not just about filling our head with knowledge, but about changing our lives, applying God's word to our lives. So I want to encourage you to take this thinking into your week. I want to encourage you to remember you are the body of Christ and you have a part to play, as well as other people. Let's welcome each other. But I want to encourage you to follow the way of love and to desire the gifts, to build up the body, make it effective for Jesus here on earth at this time. So, Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you that we can meet around your word. And Lord, I pray that we would not just be hearers of your word, but we would be people who put your word into practice. That we would be people who understand that we are part of the body of Christ. We have a part to play, and other people have a part to play too. Help us to be people who follow the way of love, who love each other, who accept each other, who embrace each other, who welcome each other's contribution. And help us to be people who seek to serve you, your church, and your world. So we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.